we're going to talk about the seeming difference between Chinese people and Americans. That's Chinese people tend to save up a lot and Americans don't do that. Is it true? Well, we'll put Ryan on the spot. Stay with us to find out more.
Join us every day from 1 to 2 p.m. on Easy FM for Roundtable, making sense so you don't have to.
It's the hour of Roundtable. Chinese people love to save up. As stats show, Chinese people put 30% of our income in the bank. The interesting contrast is that Americans apparently only save 2% of their income. So can we just reach this conclusion?
Why do you gotta say like 2%?
Yeah, it is a contrast, like 30%, two digits percent versus 2%, one digit.
Absolutely, there's a huge difference here.
Do you agree with this, Ryan?
And I do agree with this, 100%. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so in China, Chinese people love to save money. According to statistics released by the People's Bank of China, residents saved more than 15 trillion yuan. By the end of last February, Chinese residents saved over 10,000 yuan on average. And in America, a former survey done by a U.S. financial website last year showed that over 62% of American people have less than $1,000 in their accounts. Oh my God, they're not saving. And one-third of whom have no saving accounts. Another 10% of respondents say they have $1,000 to $5,000 in their accounts. Only 19% admit that they have saved over $5,000. That's crazy.
That's interesting. Luoyu, are you surprised?
I'm not very surprised. I think based on two things. For one thing, Chinese people tend to feel a little bit insecure because of our incomplete social welfare system. So people save up a lot. That's one thing. And another thing is, you know, saving up is our tradition, actually. Chinese people, especially for the older generation, there is a lack of means of putting your investment in elsewhere. So the best way and the safest way is probably to putting your money back there in the bank.
Yeah, those are some, run-of-the-mill reasons. Sorry. I do think that with these kind of analysis, kind of getting my attention here is that some people are pointing out that because the housing market in China, well, it's cooling down a little bit now, but still the price is just skyrocketing high. And for so many people whose life mission is probably to get a house, you are kind of pushed into that corner of saving. And I have this argument, which I have shared many times over the course of 2 years on Roundtable, is that in China, the truly rich people category that they fall into is when they go into the hospital with severe disease and they don't feel a thing. They have a comfortable stash of cash that they're sitting on. That's the kind of filthy rich I'm talking about in the Chinese situation. So, I mean, there's a lot of things to worry about. You kind of have to save up. But we'll talk more about people's financial decision when it comes to saving up or not. And you're listening to Roundtable. We will be back after this very short break. We have other very interesting stuff, such as we're going to badmouth about our bosses. Yeah, stay tuned for the second half of the show.
Informed opinion and heated debate. Find out what's got China talking on our roundtable discussion, only on Easy FM.
You're listening to Roundtable with me, He Yang, joined by Ryan Price and Luo Yu. Coming up, we'll discuss the 5 types of Chinese bosses that gives us nightmares. No, I mean, we adore them. That's not really what I mean. Anyway, we'll go through that. And of course, we would love to hear from you. So just send us a WeChat message as we are EZFM Roundtable. Or find us on Sina Weibo. Just key in 轻松调频 Roundtable. Our podcast listeners can find us at Roundtable. 圆桌会议 there. Now on Roundtable. And also, I have this chance to respond to our WeChat listeners, and I have to say it's great to see all of you here. There's pages and pages of comments, and people are getting all excited about Ryan's presence here.
Thank you.
And Ryan is turning a little bit pink.
I am.
Yes, Beta is saying that she hearts you.
Beta, I heart you.
Oh! I'm sure Beta is overjoyed. And there's Dawn, there's IS, there's 瑞德尔小巫女, and they're all... I'm not sure about 小巫女, but the other guys are first-timers, and they're making their voice heard, and they're, like, shouting, you know, say my name, say my name, say my name. And 小巫女, she got here early, and she said...搬了小板凳坐等 RT 直播 So, it's kind of like she's got a little stool to sit on and she's waiting like a little kid for the show to begin. And that picture is just so cute in my head. And I had to translate that with my not very good English. And there is Richard. Hello, Richard. He has something to say regarding the delivery guy got beaten up story that I can't concur 100%. But just to see what you gentlemen have to say about it. He said...The, courier guy, the poor guy that we support, obviously, should just beat back, fight back, slap that Beijing driver multiple times, make it even, a fist fight. Do you think that is right? Oh, and also Dawn is saying the same thing.
Okay, so when you're representing a company, no.I would say never, because you are on the clock, you are not in your own interests, you are working, and this happens.I'm one for self-defense. I think it's okay. But like I said, when you're working and representing a company, I would respectfully disagree.
But that really depends. I think it really depends on the severity of the situation. Well, definitely you're representing the company. But what if you put yourself's life in danger? In that case, I definitely think you should fight back. It's all about you, yourself.And it is you who is going to go through all the physical checkups and examinations and, you know, you have to see the doctor and probably the company, courier company hasn't given you the good insurance plan. How can you do with that? Right?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of very real problems that people will face regarding this. But I'm just trying to place myself in that situation and...Even if I want to fight back, I have a feeling I don't know how. I think for a lot of people, your reaction is kind of to protect yourself, is to, like, duck and just try to get away, you know. I think I'm not so sure about the fighting back bit because I just feel often that's how violence is escalated. And it's just, I don't think it's good for anyone. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.I agree. Yeah.
You don't always have to agree, okay? Everybody's, you know, entitled.
I disagree then. I disagree.
All
I'm
right.
just kidding.
Almost fell for that. And Richard also has a personal message for Luo Yu and says, Luo Yu, you are a good saint and you deserve it. I guess the nice things that he's saying about
Thank you.
You.
Richard.
Yeah, and there is Chuan Kuzi the Yun saying, my sympathy goes to the courier in the delivery industry, and the majority of them come from maybe a less developed area, and they're working so hard with limited resources. As to the attacker, I like to quote Confucius, treat others the way you want to be treated. Well said.
I would like to take a moment and agree with her specifically because I have, you know, when it's cold in Beijing during the winter and it's windy, it's terrible outside. Nobody wants to be outside. But these heroes deliver your items, even food sometimes, so that you don't have to go brave these harsh conditions. And so my hat is off to them. I respect them. They work hard.
Me too. And whenever...I see a delivery guy at my door, which is very rare because I don't shop online. Everybody knows that on our show. And because when you think about, you know, if there's the smog outside maybe or it's rainy, I try not to make orders on those days. But, I mean, just think about this guy. He is sometimes even younger than us. And he's
much younger than us.
What do you mean? I'm not that old.
Well, you did.
Don't drag me down, Luo Yu. And he's, regardless of his age, he's somebody's son too. And he's taking that extra step. Of course, he's earning money. He's getting paid from it. But still, I mean, just have a little bit of sympathy and empathy for these guys. So I'm always really nice to them, and sometimes give them a bottle of water or just say, you know, thank you, and you know, smiling to them. I think that's something everybody needs. Yeah, sorry to get a little sentimental. That's what I do all the time. Sorry if it's an overshare or outpour of emotion. You know, just bear with me. And I'll finish this section with Jiujiu's comment saying, yeah, she or he is sacrificing her nap time, or his nap time to listen to the roundtable show and is anticipating Ryan's photo to be uploaded. And yes, we will make that happen.
Is Shijing here listening to our show?
Oh, yeah, Shijing, where are you?
Shijing has loads of pictures of Ryan.
Yeah.
Don't give her
away. She's not commenting.
I have a feeling
I'm
that
a little heartbroken.
She will regret not listening to the live show today, but about the photo, we'll try to make something happen about it, but, you know, if you send in more messages and, you know, say how much you love Ryan and us, and maybe we'll make it happen a little bit sooner. We'll see how it goes. You're listening to Roundtable, and now we'll have to move on to... Actually, we should talk about the savings topic a little bit more. As right before the break, we talked about some of the rather superficial reasons why Chinese people tend to save up. And also, you know, the fact that we're under a lot of financial burden and people want to save up for a rainy day. But Ryan... if there is a rainy day, and as an American, maybe you don't save up as much, what do you do?
Well, I want to point something out. Okay, so Americans, we went through this period called the Great Depression. It was really awful, and I'll tell you that any American that is still alive from that period of time saves money and doesn't even trust banks, because actually money that was in banks was lost. So people actually started putting their money under their beds. And it's only after years of kind of a stable economy and being a consumer economy that this kind of less spending and more trust in the economy has led to people not really investing so much money into their savings accounts. I think we're, as Americans, we're very comfortable and have a lot of trust that we won't need to dip into our savings. So then we don't need to have it. My personal philosophy is, and I was telling you before the show, is that, you know, my life tomorrow is not guaranteed. Something can happen. I really hope it doesn't.
Touch wood.
Touching wood. But, you know, money, it comes and goes for me. But the experiences that sometimes it can provide, I really try not to pass up on those. So saving money for me is not a huge deal. Of course, years from now, when I'm having kids and a house is in the near future, yes, I will definitely save money and be very responsible about it. But now I think it's important to enjoy life and realize, you know, money just sitting in an account sometimes is just sitting there, you know?
Yeah, definitely American people have the different mindset towards Chinese people. Just now, Ryan has mentioned, you know, putting the money onto the bed. It actually reminds me of the Chinese government officials who do the similar thing, you know?
But for a different reason.
For a different reason, absolutely. But, you know... But if you look at the exorbitantly high real estate price, I mean, according to a list of 10 cities, the most expensive real estate price, 7 are in China. And the city of Beijing actually has the housing price deducted by yearly income. It's 33.5 times, right? This ratio for New York is only 20. Mm-hmm. So it's like... For people living in megacities in China, it's even harder for us to buy a property. And we have to, like, Chinese people don't like the idea of uncertainties, right? So we have to get fully prepared for the property you're going to buy. You have to pay off your mortgage. You have to care about your children's education. And what if something happens you know, unfortunately about your health, you have to save up a huge fortune to get prepared for that part as well.
Well, so you can buy health insurance.
But not all the illnesses are covered by insurance plans, right?
Okay. Well, I think it's really interesting that you guys have established very different views on how to use money, and also I think it's a different kind of attitude towards life, at least for the time being, you know.
Yeah.
And also, it just reminds me of another sort of like a contrast and compare story about the, let's say, a 60-year-old Chinese lady.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to tell the story then, Luo Yu?
No, it's just this joke, you know. I've been talking about the story all the time, right? There was a Chinese old lady who finally saved enough money to buy an apartment when she reaches the year 60. And an American old lady feel very relieved and satisfied, and she talked to the Chinese lady that she finally pays off her housing loan, which is a mortgage. So, mm-hmm. See, this is the drastic difference when it comes to different mentality towards consumption.
Yeah, and actually, there's something about, like, an American lifestyle here that I think is really prevalent, even in this joke, and that is we rely heavily on credit. If I want to buy a house, if I want to buy a car, I have to have a credit card, I have to use it, I have to pay off my student loans on time to maintain a good credit score, and it's, like, so necessary. It's something you invest in. People really care about their credit score. So we are a very credit-oriented country.
Yeah, and that's so different. Okay, I think China is becoming a little bit more towards the American way when it comes to using credit cards, and I don't really know if it's a good thing, actually, because what, Ryan, you've just been saying reminds me of the subprime crisis in 2008, when, you know, when people are overspending, just writing overdrafts of your future in a way, And consumption, I don't personally, I'm very conservative when it comes to spending, and I would never want to do that, if you see what I mean. So there's, again, a difference.
It's good and bad. If you pay off your loans, I think that's great. But, I mean, even the U.S., it's trillions of dollars in debt, you know? So that's like that credit kind of lifestyle is causing a lot of problems at the same time.
Right. So at the national level, America is an indebted country, right? Which borrowed a lot of money from China, of course. And at the individual level, American people don't want to save up, just want to consume. And a lot of people are indebted as well.
And as a lot of Chinese people are becoming more and more like that too, as, you know, so many of us have a mortgage on a house, on an apartment.
Yeah.
We're doing the same thing. And it's impossible.
But we have reliable parents, whereas on most occasions they don't.
I would say, well, okay.
Is your parents willing to pay off your mortgage?
Absolutely. My father told me when I first actually started college, he's like, Ryan, my father promised to pay college for me, so I will do that for you no matter what.
Oh, that's so cool.
And any time I know, like, I don't want to ask my parents for money. I am a very independent person, but if something happens, I know. Like, they will be there for me at the drop of a dime. And I would say that that's the same for most parents in the U.S. The only thing is, yes, I agree that credit is seen in a negative way because you are borrowing. But the idea in America is, like, you can enjoy something right now, and you have the means to pay for it. So why not enjoy it now and improve your quality of life and then pay incrementally, although you have to be responsible. And I feel like the majority of Americans are pretty responsible, but there's definitely a lot that aren't. So this can be a very good thing in the right hands and a very bad thing in the wrong hands.
Yeah, you made it really clear, Ryan. Well done.
Yeah, every individual has to be responsible. I mean, even in China, there are a lot of defaulters who constantly default on their loans, right?
Yes, there are those bad apples, and just allow me to, you know, put in a joke or, you know, once in a while, that kind of thing. But that kind of instant gratification is something that I admit sometimes I am a victim of it or a slave to it, but I don't like the concept. I'm still I'm still really conservative, I think, when it comes to money spending. And
especially when you don't have enough money to spend.
Oh, that's another good question. Another very valid question.